The Gopher Legislative Advisory Board was created by Executive Order 2020-06. That order is publicly available for viewing on the governor's website. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the board, is open to the public, and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91-A. We are taking minutes. Those minutes will be posted to the Gopher webpage. Today's meeting, as we've just noticed, is also being recorded. Should you be a speaking participant and not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect now or at any time. My name is Jerry Little. I am Director of the Governor's Office for Emergency Relief and Recovery, and I will facilitate today's meeting. Because the board is meeting by phone, under RSA 91A, there are some logistics that we need to establish. First, each of us must state our names, where we are located, and who is with us in the room. We'll do it this way with a roll call. I am Jerry Little, Director of the Gopher, in the Gopher office at One Eagle Square in Concord. With me are Rhonda Hensley, Joe Dorian, Wendy Gilman, Kate Giaquinto. President Donna Soucy.
Hello, this is Donna Soucy. I am at my home in Manchester, and I am alone.
Thank you. House Speaker Steve Shurtleff.
Steve Shurtleff, I'm at my residence in Penacook, and I am alone.
Senate Leader Chuck Morse.
Chuck Morse, I'm in my office in Atkinson, and I'm alone.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch.
Dick Hinch, I'm in my office in Merrimack, and I am alone.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro.
I'm Senator Lou D'Alessandro. I'm in my home in Manchester, and I'm alone.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Wallner.
Mary Jane Wallner, I'm in my home in Concord, New Hampshire, and I'm alone.
Senator John Reagan.
Reagan, office, alone.
And Representative Aaron Hennessy.
Aaron Hennessy, I'm in my home in Littleton, and my two minor children are in the house with me.
Thank you all very much. As we move through our agenda today, each board member and anyone else speaking is asked to identify themselves before speaking. Should you choose to take any votes today, they must be done by roll call following the process we just used. And finally, before we begin today's presentation, please remember to use 5-star if you would like to ask a question. Also, if there are any other presenters on that we ask to speak, you will need to hit 5-star so we can unmute your line. Last Friday, you decided to review the documents sent to you before the meeting to allow more time to review information so you could work on a proposal that had been discussed and presented by Senator Morse and Senator D'Alessandro. You also looked at Senator Soucy's cover letter. We had actually sent you out an updated copy of that spreadsheet, but it was apparently not prepared yet for distribution, so I apologize for that and take responsibility for it. We're going to work, I'm told, from last Friday's spreadsheet, the same document that you used for your conversations then. Senator Morse, would you like to return to the conversation about the spreadsheet?
Well, let's go to unemployment because I think we all agree on that one, and we can start there. But what I suggested on Friday was on unemployment, take that $50 million, actually take the number out and just take the thought of funding the unemployment fund and put it down to things to be discussed in the future and eliminate that category. And I think we all agreed on that. Eliminate it from this first document. And if no one's thinking any different than that, I just assume we go ahead with that.
Are there any questions or comments about that proposal?
Okay. The next thing is state government, which I know this is getting repetitious, but the reality is I don't think there was any changes to state government unless we were going to add language, the you know, in the far right column, but the reality of what's been spent by the governor and what's being proposed for frontline workers' hazardous pay is already allocated. So I don't know if anyone has any changes to state government.
Any questions or comments about the category of state government? Representative Mary Jane Wallner.
Thank you, Mr. Little. I would just like to, again, ask that under eligible workers, we include child protective workers. I don't think we probably need to add additional funds at this point, at least according to the accounting we would get on Friday, but I would like to see them included in the $300 a week, especially now that they're starting to, my understanding is they're starting to have face-to-face visits with families.
Any other questions or comments about state government? I see none. Are folks generally amenable to the idea of adding child protection workers under eligible workers for this frontline worker hazard pay? Not seeing any hands raising. Representative Hennessy?
Thank you, Director Little. I just have a question for Chairman Wallner. If in your proposal, are these the workers that are the ones visiting the households, or are they all child protective workers?
The ones that are visiting. And actually, I was told, though I don't have it with me right now, there is a methodology for this that the department has for providing hazard pay for child protective workers that are doing face-to-face visits. It's I don't know exactly how it is, but they already have a methodology for doing this.
Senator Susie.
I was just going to say that if Representative Wallner's suggestion was in the form of a motion, that I would second it. It does make sense to add that class of workers as well.
So, Senator D'Alessandro? Senator D'Alessandro, do you have a question?
David, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, under the category, eligible workers include Medicare-funded direct care workers. Where do nurses fit into this category? Are they in this category?
I believe that that is the section of funding for frontline workers at nursing homes. And so it definitely includes nurses, but on a limited scale, not at all healthcare facilities, but at those that are Medicaid funded. And that also includes employees at the Veterans Home, the Glencliff Home, and the Sununu Youth Services Center.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Hinch?
Yes, thank you. I just have a question of clarification. So if we're in state government, there has been incurred costs so far of $65 million, and then we go down to frontline workers, and there's been two allocations made by the governor, one for $25 million, one for $75 million. Do I understand the verbiage of adding the eligible workers for child protection would be included within those numbers that have been allocated and not a new advisory board allocation?
I believe, Representative Pinchin, let me be speaking for you, Representative Walner, but my understanding is that you are proposing to add child protection workers to the section that has the $25 million figure beside it. So added to fire, police, EMS, and corrections, we would also add child protection workers. They did not hear anything about adding more money to that category.
Yes, that's correct. We had an accounting on Friday. We had an accounting of these categories, and the spend down was we were well below what is in these categories at this point. So my intention is to try to add child protection workers into the list of providers that would be able to receive this $300 a week benefit.
Thank you for the clarification.
And I can take it into a motion if you want it as a motion.
Senator Morris, you are the chairman of the committee. I believe a motion and a second. A motion was made by Representative Walner and seconded by Senator Stussy. Would you like me to facilitate a roll call for you, sir?
Yeah, that's probably how we'll have to handle all these changes, based on our rules. So, yeah.
We can either take them one by one, or you can roll through your entire spreadsheet and take a single roll call at the end.
I hope we don't have so many of these we can't take single roll calls. So,
I would concur with Chuck, but we ought to do a single roll call at the end. You just added the item, so the item is in, and there's no change in the dollar amount. It's just an amendment to the narrative. So it seems we ought to move forward and vote on the entire package at the end.
I see, Senator Stussy, you have your hand up, ma'am.
Yes, I was going to suggest that we need to do separate motions on each of these to the extent that we're changing them. I don't know that just doing one at the end is fair to the membership, because there may not be consistent buy-in with each of the items being proposed. So I thought we should do them one at a time.
Are you amenable to that, Senator Morse?
Sure.
Would you like me to run a roll call for you, sir?
Sure.
Very well. We are going to, I will facilitate for you a vote on, at this point in time, we actually have two suggestions made, but I think the vote, the motion and the second were only for adding child protection workers to the frontline workers hazard pay section under state government. This is a roll call. Senate President Donna Stussy.
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff.
Steve Shurtleff votes yes.
Senate GOP Leader Chuck Morris.
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch.
Dick Hinch votes yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Walner.
Yes.
Senator John Reagan.
Yes.
And Representative Aaron Hennessy.
Hennessy votes yes.
It's a unanimous roll call to add child protection workers to the frontline workers' hazard pay. Senator Morris, would you like to move on to the categories, sir?
Yep. We'll move on to local and county government. Right now, the governor, I believe, has $40 million in that category. And this is probably a good place to remind everyone, this document's just going on as advisory. So I think as we're putting numbers in, the debate's much more about, you know, 100's bigger than 25, so it shows where our priority is. It's not like building the budget as much as it is, although at the bottom line, I believe it is, that if we all agree we shouldn't be spending more than X percent, I mean, you know, you have to live within that. But the reality is it's, I think as we go along through this document, it's what rises to a level of, you know, above something else. So anyhow, so it's $40 million right now in local and county mm-hmm. government. Are there any changes?
Any questions or comments regarding the local and county government section? Seeing none.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to business relief funding plan. Jerry, I wasn't sure, because I've definitely heard from members that we want to make sure that this piece is set up with, like, BFA and you know, regional economic development centers. I'm just curious as to recommendations that might come out of your office, because you're listening to the other group. Do we need to actually break this down, or are we putting enough detail into the column that we want to make sure it's done through someone besides, you know, like your office, and it's done with an organization that exists already?
Difficult question. I think the easy answer to it is that with this document, you are making recommendations to Governor Sununu, who will ultimately decide what part of a proposal to use the Business Finance Authority, if at all, he is comfortable with. So you can present this to any level you wish, but please understand that at the end, he's going to vet the proposal from the BFA as well and decide what makes him comfortable. What I understand is presented at this point is funding to BFA to be who would request some assistance from the regional development centers to find businesses within their geographic areas to fund. But I can't tell you what the governor's current belief, feeling, and thought is about that. I've not had that conversation.
Ultimately, no, I was much more, Jerry, as to you. You're listening to the other advisory group that I think has put some time into that category. I didn't know if there was something we should include in our document. I certainly think that at the least we all believe that we should use BFA and organizations like that to distribute the money, you know, because they're already set up for doing something like that.
So, Senator Morse, my understanding is that when the Stakeholders Advisory Board has discussed this, they have strongly recommended that Gopher recommend to the governor that he use existing mechanisms that have been established that have experienced staff and just general institutional experience and knowledge of how these processes. But that's entirely up to the governor to decide. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yes, and something like that I think should be included either in the letter that we're writing or in this document.
Senator Susie, would it be acceptable to you to add that sort of a suggestion to use existing mechanisms to your letter?
Yes, Commissioner Little, I actually think that's a very good idea, and I concur with what Senator Moore said. I think it's important to the extent we have existing structures like BFA that have a good track record that can quickly, fairly, and accountably get this money out to places that need it, we should include those recommendations.
Thank you, Senator Susie. Senator D'Alessandro, you have a question, sir.
Yeah, thank you. My question is, we have in our design, we have mentioned the BFA, we've mentioned the CAP program, we have mentioned temporary bridge loans, and we've mentioned regional economic development centers. Existing entities have to be used to facilitate giving of these dollars, and I, across the board, that should be a theme that we accentuate when we make this presentation to the governor, that we have existing mechanisms in place to distribute these dollars, and we should use them to the best of our advantages. That would give us two things. A, it would give us accountability, but it would also give us a mechanism to get these dollars out quickly where they're needed. So I think we should make that point if in a document and in the letter that is transcribed and sent by Donner and Steve Shurtleff and the chairman of our committee to the governor. We have existing, he may choose them or he may not, but we'll present them to him, alternative, which I think is very important.
Any further questions or comments about the section titled Business Relief Funding Plan? Do you not see any additional questions? Hello?
Yeah, I'm getting somebody's rattling some paper or something. So.
Someone needs to mute their line, please.
Okay, I think we understand what we have to do in the letter, so as we get to the letter, I think we are we ready to move on to agriculture?
Yes, Senator.
Yes.
Okay. I think we agreed on agriculture the other day. We should eliminate this category. Just kidding. I think we're all pretty clear we support this. So I can move on, I think, from that one. On nonprofits, I don't think we settled on a number, but again, I think the 15 is too low. What number we want to put in this category, you know, we can decide on. But I think it's the message that we want to support New Hampshire charities. And remember, we can still come back to this next month and support it again. And then, obviously, we want to support the food bank. So someone wants to make a suggestion of what we change New Hampshire charities to. I think 15 sends the wrong message, so we should probably change it. So.
Senator D'Alessandro, you have a question, sir? Senator D'Alessandro?
Am I unmuted? I think we wanted to move this item to at least $30 million. And there was some discussion about increasing it, and we could do that maybe in another round. But the 15 was too little. 30 makes sense given the scope of the problem and how the problem can be dealt with. So I would suggest that the 30 million number is a better number at this point.
Further questions or comments?
Well, I'll second that for debate. The when I told you my original theory was when I saw Senator D'Alessandro's number, I thought with the way the requests were coming in that you had to find a percentage of what they were asking for in order to balance off this document. In this particular case, that's probably it's a little greater than 20% of what they're asking for. We didn't quite do that with business, and we didn't do that with hospitals. So maybe 30 is the right number because it's saying we support this, and then when we come back, you know, next month we can talk about what we need to land at. I still haven't seen anything about all the applications that they're getting at charity so that we know the categories that are being, you know, talked about in here. But I would think this will work itself out in a period of time fairly quickly, quite honestly. And we'll all be receiving letters, you know, that the group said need help and they aren't going to get it. So I think it's a fair number.
Jerry, do we need to vote on that number, that change?
We would, but we have more hands up at this moment.
Okay.
Representative Hinch?
Yes, thank you, Jerry. I concur with Senator Morse. I actually was in the $25 million range. $30 million is acceptable. So I think it'll work its way out, and, you know, we will certainly hear from them and be able to enhance and redistribute as time goes on. So $25 or $30 million is certainly reasonable.
Thank you, Representative Hinch. Senator Susie, please.
Thank you, Commissioner. I agree with the $30 million number. I think as a first round number, I think we probably will have to do an additional $30 million later, but that's why this committee will continue to meet and revisit some of these decisions. But I think as a first round number, 30 would be reasonable.
Any further questions or comments? The question is whether or not we would increase New Hampshire Charities under the nonprofits to $30 million from $15
million. I think you can call the roll, Jerry.
There is a second subsection under nonprofits for the food bank at $5 million. Would you like to consider them at the same time?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
I don't think there's any problem with that one, but that could be a mistake on my part.
Would you like me to facilitate a roll call, Senator Morse?
Yes.
Senate President Donna Susi?
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff?
Yes.
Republican Leader Chuck Morse?
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch?
Dick Hinch, yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Wallner?
Yes.
Senator John Reagan?
Yes.
Representative Aaron Hennessy?
Hennessy, yes.
Thank you all. Senator Morse, back to you at healthcare.
Yep. Going to hospitals first, I think it was suggested that we raise that from 75 to 100. I also think the committee would like to figure out how this is going to be set up, in the sense that, you know, I made a proposal the other day that certainly didn't come from me, but I mean, I thought it made sense to review, you know, the losses and the money that institutions have gotten already, and then use some sort of formula to figure out how to distribute money to the hospital doing that. I think that makes a lot of sense in suggesting, you know, to the governor that this $100 million is more of a cash flow thing in, on this phase of it, and I'm not suggesting we do this every time, that this money needs to get out based on that scenario. And I think that's pretty much what I heard from committee members on, is that they're hearing from the hospitals that there's issues, and they want to see this $100 that's being suggested go out now and go out to help those that needed it the most. And then, you know, maybe in the future we create a formula that's a little different than that. But at least at this point in time, I think they're looking for the help.
Senator Susie, you have a question or a comment, ma'am?
Yes. As I said on Friday, I believe the $100 million going out as expeditiously as possible is really required. There was also a round of federal funding that was based on rural hospitals. I want to make sure that we account for that revenue. So much like Senator Morse, I think that an easy way to look at this is to look at the losses for the months of March and April, and then consider the federal funds that have come in, including what came in this past week, or at least what was announced this past week, and then dispersing those funds between the remaining hospitals, the hospitals that still are experiencing significant losses.
Thank you, President Susie. Representative Hennessy.
Thank you, Director Little. I agree with the $100 million amount, and I do think that all of these should go out as cash grants and not loans in any form. They should go to the hospitals that are cash poor right now, for those that have not received the federal grants, as President Susie had mentioned. One thing that I would like to just bring up again, I just want to make sure that we reserve monies. I know that we haven't really added too much today, but that we reserve money going forward, because although some may have received cash now, they may not have what they need to operate going forward in the fall. Also, for the hospitals that have set up surge facilities, I want to make sure that these funds would pay for the 25% of the cost to set these up and operate them that FEMA is not going to cover. I spoke with several presidents today of critical access hospitals, and they're not sure how these funds are going to be get distributed, if ever. And I know that when we spoke with Commissioner Quinn very early on, they said they had made a promise to the, I believe there's 10 surge sites throughout the state, that they would cover these costs 100% for anything that FEMA doesn't cover. And some of these surge sites are very big, and there's rental costs and lease costs that are going on for these. And for those hospitals that don't have a lot of cash now, they really need this type of funding to come in.
Thank you, Representative. Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Little. I agree with the $100 billion. I think two things to be looked at. A, how are you going to distribute it? Secondly, the double-dipping situation, so that there is no chance for a clawback. That's important. And the other thing is the amount of federal monies outside of this that are flowing into the hospitals have to be accounted for. That way you get at least a fair distribution of the monies. And we should do it quickly.
Further questions on this section, healthcare, subsection hospitals?
Jerry, I think the things that need to be noted here are, one, it's $100 million. Two, it's direct grants. And three, we want to look at what I call a P&L. I don't know if Fox will call them something different. For March and April, minus what they receive in outside funding, and then work out the percentage out of the 100 to deal with the balance. I think that is pretty clear what we've been asking for, and that would be this committee's suggestion to the governor's office.
President Soucy.
Yeah, I would make that in the form of a motion that we are doing $100 million right now based on the criteria as outlined by Committee Member Morse, by Chairman Morse, that we look at losses for March and April, offset by revenues received up to a certain date, and that the money be dispersed immediately in the form of grants.
I would second that motion.
And we have several hands up with questions, so we have a motion and a second. Further discussion, Representative Hennessy.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that funds received should not include any loans to the organizations, anything that they would have to pay back. Such as the loans that the state has made to a few of the hospitals already, or their Medicare prepayment loans that some of the hospitals have also received.
Thank you. Representative Hinch.
Yeah, I'll wave off. Senator D'Alessandro did the second, which why we...
Thank you. And Representative Wallner.
I don't need to speak.
That appears to, like, all the questions have been asked. Senator Morse, would you like us to facilitate a roll call?
Well, I think while we're on to health care, I don't think we're really in disagreement on the last part of all other health care providers. I think what we talked about or was suggested on someone's document was reducing that line to 40,000 and adding a line that said nursing homes. And I would hope that includes all nursing homes at 20 million.
You said 40,000, Chuck. I think you meant 40 million.
Yeah, I was cheaping out, wasn't I? Yeah, 40.
It's 40, okay.
Million.
You're a saver.
and putting a new category underneath that of nursing homes at 20 million.
So under all other health care providers, we'll split that, reduce the $50 million figure to $40 million, and add a line, all nursing homes, which I assume means Medicaid as well as non-Medicaid reimbursed nursing homes, at $20 million. And are those loans or grants there?
I'm assuming what the state's doing, 1.2, is a grant at this point. but the I in the nursing home case, the letter I got, I don't believe they can afford to pay back a loan.
I think it should be clear to everybody that we're talking about grants at this point in time.
Thank you, Senator Susie.
Thank you. That was actually the suggestion that I had offered to the committee last week, was that we go to $40 million for all health care providers. Oh, Senator Morris, rubbing off on me. And then $20 million for nursing homes, that that be in the form of grant, recognizing that our long-term care facilities at this point, other than hospitals, are dealing with the largest number of COVID patients and have had the most significant impact. And I would add that to the motion, if you'd like, so that it be the $100 million for hospitals as described, $40 million for all other health care providers, $20 million for long-term care facilities, and that that be in the form of grants.
And if you wanted to, I would second that motion.
Thank you, Senator D'Alessandro. Representative Wallner.
Yes. Thank you. I just have one question. And that is, I had received many letters concerning the rate, the daily rate that we pay to nursing homes, with the suggestion that the daily rate be increased. And I wondered if that was how you saw the $20 million, or do you actually see this as nursing homes applying and actually getting specific grants?
Well, I think that if finance is going to go back in June to have that discussion, it might be too late for these groups that works with Medicaid, Mary Jane, but it doesn't work with some of the privates that I think are struggling with the same issue. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. I think all these long-term care facilities are struggling right now. I think the biggest thing there is if we're putting 20 in and we're doing a direct grant, if we come back in the beginning of June, that's probably a category that we'll see a lot of applications in. I like the 30 dollar funding issue, but I think that would be hard. I don't know the calculation, to be honest with you. So
thank you. I the grant is fine. I just wanted to be sure that I understood how we were going to actually be getting this to the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions or comments? Seeing none.
I think you can call the roll, Jerry.
I'm sorry, Senator Morse, I did not catch that.
I think you can call the roll on that.
Very good. Senate President Donna Susie.
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff.
Shurtleff votes yes.
Senate Republican Leader Chuck Morse.
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch.
Dick Hinch, yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Wallner.
Yes.
Senator John Reagan.
Yes.
Representative Aaron Hennessy.
Hennessy votes yes.
Thank you all very much. Another unanimous vote. Yolanda Education, Senator Morse.
Yeah, the this category I don't think we had consensus on at this point. I really think that we probably should, this is my opinion now, and I'm sure everybody's got an opinion, we should wait a month on this category. If we want to say with what's in the original document, the 10 and the 5, we can vote on that today. Increasing anything on that right now I think it takes away from the message of we want to stay at some number of half or 45%. I don't care what it is. I mean, but I think I don't think we're ready for the rest of this yet. But that's just my opinion. So.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Thanks, Jerry. I think in light of what's happened, where the publics have said they will reopen in September and the privates have said they will reopen in September, I think that's a new ingredient in the discussion process. We know what the publics had to return in terms of room and board allocations, and it was for the publics, it was $41.6 million. There have been faculty leave that's been put in place. I think Keene even eliminated some positions. So there's definitely this area. The private institutions, they're tuition-driven institutions to begin with the exception of Dartmouth. Their endowments are slim. They are slim. And again, with the decision to reopen in September, they're going to need some help. And I pointed out that the private institutions are probably the largest taxpayers in their communities. I talk about Franklin Pierce, New England, St. Anselm, Colby Sawyer. They're significant taxpayers with a property tax assessment in the half million dollar range. So it's a category I think we got to focus in on. If we can address it later, I don't have a problem with that. But I think the severity of the situation is clear. The decision to reopen is a very significant decision. The amount of money they had to return, very, very significant. The fact that the privates are taxpayers and have a tremendous impact on the local communities, that really has to be considered. I put some of these numbers together. I'm happy to discuss them at any time, but I think it's a category that we have to focus in on based on what's happening in the environment. Thank you.
Representative Hinch.
Yes, thank you, Jerry. I was going to agree with Senator Morse's sentiments. I think that this is certainly going to be a category that is going to need some attention, but whether it needs attention today or a few weeks from now, I think we can come back and address it in a more strategic fashion.
Representative Mary Jane Wallner.
Thank you. I would agree that this is a category that I think we really do need to come back to, and I hope that we will make the commitment to come back to it, because I think the decision to reopen in the fall must have a lot of financial implications to it, and we may want to get an update from the colleges about what kinds of funding they're going to need to be able to get up and running again this fall.
Any further questions or comments?
I think it's fine to push it off, but I think it's a significant item. It's something that we're going to have to deal with. And remember that they're doing their preparations for the fall as we speak. Students are putting their deposits in. Students are thinking about returning. I mean, all of this is in place, and the decision to open, I think, was a very significant one on the part of the public and the private.
Yeah. I think it's really important that we get them in, and or we receive information from them concerning what they're going to really need. And it's going to have to happen, like Senator D'Alessandro said, in the net very soon, because they are making all their plans now.
But it may be, and trust me, I don't have the answer today. I, and I don't think anyone does yet, it may be that scholarships are a bigger category as we're going into the fall than funding directly to the institution. And that was suggested by one of the institutions. So
We've addressed the scholarship situation through the 529 program by increasing the scholarship allotment to New Hampshire students going to New Hampshire institutions, both public and private. We did that at the last meeting of the 529 Commission, recognizing the fact that kids may need more financial aid. So we've upped the financial aid considerably. So we looked at that and moved very quickly in that direction. So that has been addressed to some extent. $80 million, by the way.
Senator Susie, your hand is raised.
Yes, I was going to echo much of what's been already said. I do think that the colleges and universities are at this very moment making those decisions. So I do think it is imperative that if we don't do something today beyond what's listed on the page currently, we get back to make a decision very quickly because they are mid-process. They are accepting deposits. So the schools and the students are really anxious to formulate those decisions, and our ability to assist with some of those costs will be perhaps determinative of how some schools proceed going forward.
Further discussion?
Well, I think we can move on from this. I think the pledge from the committee is this is a category that needs to be increased next month, but we need to do some more homework.
Speaker Sharp.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner, I just wondered if this group could not agree on a number today for the colleges and then come back in a few weeks and discuss adding to that number. But at least as we leave this meeting today, our colleges and universities will know that money's coming forward and there could be more coming down at a later date.
I don't see any other hands up. Can someone state for me what they believe? Oh, Senator Morse.
Yeah, I was going to do that. The call I was on this morning, I was on direct talking, and I didn't have to use 5-star, so I apologize for jumping in. I think what's on the document that originally was proposed by Senator D'Alessandro, and I actually agreed with him, was $10 million for USNH and $5 million for the community college system. I think that sends the message that we're supporting them, and then we're all agreeing today to come back at our next, period in time and address all of this category.
I agree with that, but my original document, I don't know how it got taken off, but I had $5 million in for the privates also, my original suggestion.
That could have been me.
I just don't want the privates left out because they're considerable players in our economic situation in New Hampshire.
Any further comments? Seeing none, I'd just like to clarify, are you suggesting that we leave this category as it is presented on the paper?
Well,
10,000 for the university system of New Hampshire, $10 million, I'm sorry, and $5 million for community college system of New Hampshire.
And I would suggest that we put $5 million in for the privates. as that was my original suggestion.
Any further comments or questions? Then it appears that we need a motion to add $5 million for private colleges and universities. Speaker Shurtleff?
I'd second that motion.
Representative Walmer?
I just say that I support Senator D'Alessandro's suggestion that we put in $5 million for the private universities and colleges. I think that we need to be sure that we keep them in this funding pot.
If it's okay with you, Senator Morse, I would restate that, although a little bit out of order, it sounded to me like a motion from Representative Walner and a second from Speaker Shurtleff to add $5 million for private colleges and universities.
Yes, I'm not sure who made the motion, but I think that's what we're voting on.
Any further questions or comments? And would you like me to facilitate a roll call for you, Senator Morse?
Please.
Senate President Donna Soucy?
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff?
Shurtleff votes yes.
Senate Republican Leader Chuck Morse?
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch?
Dick Hinch, yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Chairman Mary Jane Walner?
Yes.
Senator John Reagan?
Yes.
Representative Aaron Hennessy?
Hennessy votes yes.
Thank you. Your next category, Senator Morse?
The next category is child care providers. I was trying to get a question answered today, and maybe someone on this call can answer it for me. We had at least two presentations from child care providers. I was trying to figure out what was asked of us in those two presentations, because we're talking about increasing this significantly, and I was trying to figure out what that meant.
Senator Soucy, do you have a question?
A comment, because I read the child care increase last week from $15 million to $25 million. I think child care is foundational to all other businesses trying to start up again. People can't get to work if they can't access child care. And child care in New Hampshire tends to be very expensive, one of the most expensive in the state. What the child care providers, and perhaps others could amplify, my understanding is with the new guidance for child care providers, they will still have many of the same overhead costs. So, for example, keeping the lights on, their supplies, they'll have added costs for PPE and for other things. But they're going to, in many cases, take in about half as many children, at least initially. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to ramp up and to get going. But I think child care is one of those issues that it's not just the provider's needs. The provider's needs are very important, and the go towards getting the provider started. But those providers will enable businesses throughout the state to begin to ramp up, and they're key to that function. So I think what they need is the ability to get started up again, reconfigure their facilities in many cases, purchase PPE, and start getting back out there. I had suggested a couple possibilities for distribution of those funds through non-state agencies, either the CDFA or the New Hampshire Community Loan Fund.
Representative Mary Jane Walner.
Thank you. I think that Senator Susie really hit on a lot of the important issues. These are, you know, child care is really made up of, these are small business providers, and they, many of them have been closed down for the last almost 2 months. Didn't mean that their expenses didn't continue to go on. And as they ramp up, they're going to need help in ramping up and getting back, some of them open, and some of them, those that remained open, actually probably remained open at a loss because there were less children in them, so they still had ongoing expenses for staffing, and they still had their ongoing expenses for overhead. So in order to be sure that when they stay open, get open and stay open, that they are financially solvent and able to continue running because they are so important. And there are child care providers all over the state. There is close to 800 child care providers serving about 45,000 children in our state when they were all open. And, of course, now many of them have been, most of them have been closed for the last couple of months.
Senator Morse.
No, actually, Mary Jane just answered my question, because my original question was trying to figure out how many different providers there were. And what $25 million, actually did. I like the theory we're going to do this to run it through an organization like CDFA. If that's not the right organization, I think we can use the same terminology we use on the business line in this category. And the I can see on the document we got from Scott Spradling that it was 46,000 participants originally. But I'm just trying to figure out, comparing that to nursing homes. We put $20 million into nursing homes. How many different people are we helping, and how many nursing homes are there, in the state of New Hampshire? That's how I was trying to figure out earlier today what should be in this category. I'm not against putting money in this category. So maybe the simple solution is that we put the $25 million in the category and we require outside oversight of how the money's applied for. That's probably something I could support.
Representative Walner.
Yes, I was just going to say that I agree with Senator Morris that an outside agency like the Business Finance Authority, I mean, these are small businesses. I think it's really important to remember that these are small businesses. They are, all different sizes, and they will need assistance for many different things. Some will need assistance to help pay for staff. Some will have to pay their mortgage. Some will have to pay their lights. Some will have to reconfigure their building. So it's a wide variety of things. So I think looking at it from a business model is the way to really look at this. So if it would be the Business Finance Authority or CDFA or the Community Loan Fund, which also ran a child care program, a child care grant and lending program at one time, any of those might be options.
Any further questions or comments on the topic of child care providers? Senator Susie?
Yes. I also wanted to be clear, and I'm happy to make a motion on this, that This be for child care providers, typically referred to as daycare providers, but those providing after-school programs would also be eligible. I would hope that we would include Boys and Girls Club and others so that they would apply for those funds as well, because that's an important part of programming and care for various age students.
Is that your motion, Senator?
Yes, it is. So it would be for $25 million, and it would be for providers of daycare, child care, after school care, and that it be administered by an organization such as the CDFA or the Community Loan Fund, and that that money be part of a first round to not only help those businesses themselves, but to allow them to ramp up so that all other businesses would benefit by having the provision of child care for workers across our state.
Sorry, was that a second?
I'll second the motion. Let Senator Moore second.
Senator Moore seconded that, I believe. Would you like me to facilitate a roll call for you, Senator Morse?
Please.
Senate President Donna Soucy?
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff?
Shurtleff votes yes.
Senator Republican Jeff Morse?
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch?
Yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro? Senator D'Alessandro.
Did you lose me?
We have you now, sir.
All right, yes. You're welcome.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Walner.
Yes.
Senator John Reagan.
Yes.
Representative Aaron Hennessy.
Yes.
Unanimous. Back to you, Senator Morse.
Well, the I know everyone has a whole bunch of new categories that I shouldn't say a whole bunch, but there's a significant amount. I would hope that unless there's something really that sticks out, that we put those on to our discussions for next month. And I think between the Senate President, the Speaker, and the membership, we could decide who we want to hear from, you know, within this month to discuss some of these other topics that have come up. But right now, unless I'm totally wrong, we're probably at somewhere around 40. We're probably 15 million more than we started the day at, which would put the total at about 600 for the first round. If you put what we have and what the governor had already, as where we'd be today. So, I guess let's hear from everyone what they think about other items that have to go in this phase.
Speaker Shurtleff.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. I had an item for a small amount of money, but I have no problem putting that off to another meeting.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Alessandro. I think that that two items that really have to be worked on, and I don't think we can put them off, are the Emergency Housing Recovery Fund and the Homeless Shelter Program. Those things are omnipresent in the area that I represent, and I know that they're growing exponentially on almost on a daily basis. And having to do with the homeless situation, the rent situation, the mortgage situations, the ability of people to react to landlords coming down hot on them, I think those are immediate concerns. So those two items, I think, are very significant as we go through this process. Now, Chuck, you might want to put them off until next time, but I think that they are very, very important. And I was thinking that we ought to talk to some extent about legal aid becoming involved in defending some of these people, and maybe us putting some monies aside to help them with that task, because I think that's going to be very, very significant.
Representative Walner.
I would like to, in the next several weeks, maybe have a presentation around where we are with testing and whether or not we need to be adding in additional funds for testing. You hear all the time how important it's going to be to reopening our businesses, that we're going to need to have testing in place. And I don't think that we ever really discussed testing or how much funding we need for that. I know that we're doing some now, but is there going to be the need in the near future as more and more businesses open, particularly for more testing and making it more available to the general population?
Senator Susie?
Thank you, Commissioner. I actually had one of each of those items. I did want to say, in terms of the housing issue that Senator D'Alessandro raises, although I think the housing issue isn't quite as imminent because of the governor's executive orders that are in effect, I think the homelessness issue actually is. I know around the state, certainly here in Manchester, we have camps set up because of crowding or fear of being in the homeless shelter. So it's really a significant problem. It's an imminent problem. So I would hope we could do something on the issue of homelessness today. And the other one was what Representative Walner just suggested, which is testing. And testing is another one of those issues that I think is sort of fundamental to and foundational to allowing other businesses to be able to grow. In the proposal that I think was emailed last week, I had suggested that we included $2 million for testing, and part of that be to expand existing capacity. My understanding is that in addition to the state lab, Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center is the only other that is doing processing testing, and I think $2 million would be a modest start to look at that issue, since people across the state are actively seeking more testing opportunities, locations, and the types of testing are going to expand, not just for COVID-19 itself, but for antibodies and for other things moving forward. So I think it's $2 million would be a start in that area, and I hope, as I said, we could consider doing something in the very short term for homelessness. But then continue to explore the issue of housing as that starts to unfold and people are outside of the time frames established by the governor's executive orders.
Senator Morse.
Yeah, it's not in any of these categories. I'm not suggesting we don't have to pay attention, but I just don't think we've discussed them to the extent that we can make a decision. And I'm looking back at Senator Shaheen's document, and there's definitely categories that cover some of this. And I, you know, it's like hospitals. When I ask them to give me their revenues, their expenses, and all the federal categories, They gave us documents that included all those things. As a matter of fact, I just received another one today from a hospital that decided to do it on their own. But homeless, Manchester was given $540,000 out of $3.2 million that came to the state. And on community development block grants, specifically for housing, the CDFA was given $7.5 million, and it was some of that was directed to the cities like Manchester, Nashua, Portsmouth, Dover, and Rochester. So I think there's a lot of work that needs to happen in these categories. As for testing, I quite honestly, you're way out of the league that I even know if we need to put money in that or not put money in that category. So,
further questions or comments? Would someone like to state where they believe we are right now in this conversation, what you would like us to add or not
Jerry,
add?
Jerry, Lou, are we asking that we put these items on hold at this time and look for more testimony or look for more information? Is that the motion that's sort of on, or is that the statement that's on the floor as we speak? That we get back to these at our next call.
Lou, this is what I think we should do. I think
sure.
If we're going to make any motions to increase funding, we should put that off. And I picked June 3rd just because it's a Wednesday, and I don't want to interfere. I hope with where I see sessions coming, but. That date would have worked for that, then I think in between now and then, and I'm not suggesting it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday either, I think we need to take a break from it. Not to take a break because we're ignoring things, because to catch up to the mail that's actually coming in already to all of us, I think there's a lot of work to do. So I would think we could come back next week with, you know, some groups we want to hear more information from and how it's working, you know, the same way we did with the hospitals. I mean, we had a meeting outside of the committee. We listened to them. We got documentation from them. We met with the U.S. Senator to see where everything was going. I think we need to do that all over again. But I think we've done a lot. So our message to be meaningful to the governor, I think we take what we've done so far, make our letter represent that with a couple of the key things we suggested today, and we go from there.
Well, I agree. We've made substantial progress. I think today was a great day for us in terms of what the work that we had done. So it makes sense, and we had unanimity across the board, which I think is very essential in this process as we move it forward. As we move it forward, I think that's essential. And coming back and looking at these other items, I don't have any problem with that. I think we just have to set a time with it. We're going to come back and the Senate President. Are we going to meet between now and maybe our next meeting here, or what's the plan there? Because that would play into our process, wouldn't it?
Senator D'Alessandro, if you are talking about when we would meet in full session, the absolute
yes.
earliest that could occur would be June, and we are currently working with the Speaker. I'm currently working with the Speaker and House leadership to determine those dates. They have not been set at this moment, but we are working towards sometime in June to have full session.
Okay. Oh, great. So we have time between now and the end of the month of May get the kind of input we need to make decisions on these last items that are on our agenda. Does that make sense to people? I think the faster we get a document to the governor, the better our chances of getting done at this point in time. Because remember, the governor's making decisions as we move forward in our discussion process, and I hope that they're going to be consistent with the recommendations that we're making.
Senator Morse, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I don't think the new subjects are the only subjects we'd come back. And let me use June 3rd as the date, and that can change based on what the Speaker and the Senate President decide to do with sessions. I don't think those are the only subjects we'd bring up, Lou. I think some of the subjects that we voted on today, I think by then we'll be coming back and talking about them. And, you know, do they need more? Did we make a mistake in how we suggest that we go forward? And along with that, I mean, obviously the governor's making decisions. We'll be able to see what those are, and we'll be able to put them on a document. And, you know, it's just like I do think this committee was loud and clear about the $50 million in health care that's out there now. And I think efforts are being made to move that forward and get that money out. I mean, so I think we're having an effect, and I think it's, you know, I don't think we should come back before next Monday, and if we wanted to put a few things on an agenda next Monday, I think we could do that. But, you know, Donna Lee's committee by then will have gone through probably as many hearings as ours, so we can get information from there, and I think we could continue to work on this. But I think things like sessions and committee work are going to start to come into play.
Yeah, well, I agree. Committee work, we're all working on our committees and trying to get that done. But, you know, in between meetings, last Friday, through the governor's action and through his informational items, another $100 million was allocated. That's outside of the CARES money to different departments and throughout the state. How that money is being used would be kind of an important piece of information that we ought to get. It would help us in the decision-making process, because you don't want to duplicate. And that's another $100 million that flowed in addition to what we're talking about. So, I mean, all of those things obviously have to be considered. And the better information we have, the better equipped we are to make these decisions. So I agree that you should look at everything, relook at everything, because there's always something that comes up. We know that from the hearings that we have in our representative bodies. But there's a lot flowing as we speak, and it's happening on a daily basis. There are millions and millions of dollars flowing. And unless you have a handle on all of them, we could have some problems. That's from where I sit.
Thank you, Senator. Our next question is from Representative Mary Jane Wallman.
Thank you. I would just like to see us come back maybe next Monday and have a presentation around the issues around housing and homelessness, because in all of the presentations that we had, we did not have a presentation on that subject, and I think that it's a category that we really need to take a close look at. So spending time on that one, maybe there might be a couple of groups that we would want to bring from different specific areas. So I'm hoping that maybe next Monday we might be able to get someone in.
Representative, this is Jerry Little. The Stakeholders Advisory Board spent most of their afternoon on Thursday last week doing presentations from housing advocates. We could ask them to either hear their presentations online, or we could ask them to represent to you.
next week.
Either way works for me. I'm fine listening to it online. I wasn't aware that they had had the presentations last week, but I'm fine to listen or to have them come back and do it so that we can ask questions.
Very good. We will ask. We'll see if we can't facilitate a re-presentation from the folks that spoke to the stakeholder advisory board to do next Monday. Senator Susan, your hand is.
Yes, I think that on the document, the spreadsheet before us, where we have future considerations, I do think we should add these items to that, testing, housing, and homelessness. Right now it has broadband expansion, state budget, legislative branch, and unemployment. I think we should include the items that we are continuing to work through to make it more reflective of the path that we've set.
Okay. So I have a couple of messages that I'm receiving. One is that you want to meet next Monday. The other one is that you want to meet next month. Please give me some guidance on that.
Yeah, I think they're two different things, Jerry. I think the next month one is the first we come back to do any financial suggestions. I think we can send a strong message today with the document and the letter, you know, that's what we see at this point. And then to the extent that we want to include other items for the future, I would agree we could put these items in that category to review them. You know, I think all those things need to be reviewed. I've heard from Comcast, and I haven't had time to follow it up. I would think we want to hear from all these groups. So what I don't think we want to do right now is come back Wednesday and Friday of this week and start working on additional, we're going to fund this tomorrow thing, because it won't be as effective as what we're doing today.
Further questions or comments? I'm still looking for guidance as to whether or not you want to be back here on Monday or if you prefer to listen to the Stakeholder Advisory Board meeting from Thursday to hear about housing issues. Which they covered quite thoroughly.
I have no problem coming back next Monday, Jerry. I just think we need a little break here to get caught up on everything that's coming at us. And probably by next Monday, the governor will have done something else that we can take a look at, too. So it'd just be a guess, but, I mean, it seems to be how it's working. So I don't have a problem setting a meeting up for next Monday. We can work on the agenda through the week and see what we want to look at. But I don't think we need to meet every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the month of May. I don't think that's necessary.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yeah, thank you. I think meeting next Monday to have those principles and to talk about those key areas that we have discussed is a good idea. I agree with Senator Morse. We don't have to meet every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We meet when the need presents itself. And I think we need time to look over what we have and do our critical analysis of where we're going forward. We will have heard some things that the governor has done during that time period. But it seems to be meeting next Monday and having these two or a series of groups come in and talk about the homelessness and the housing would be, I think, an important issue. Thank you.
Any further questions? Comments. Senator Susie?
Yes, I'm fine with the scheduling conversation that's going on of meeting Monday. I think that's completely appropriate, and then we can set out further meeting dates from there. I did just want to say, with regard to the suggestion that was made about edits to the letter, if I could take that back and do those. I don't know that we want to do that here on a call, but I will make the edits that were suggested and then circulate those through the chair so that everybody has a copy of it and we can get it out first thing.
Thank you, Senator Susie. Senator Morse?
No, the Senate President said exactly what I believe we should do. So, yeah, I think that's what we should have.
Very good. Have you completed your matrix, Senator Morse?
Excuse me?
Have you completed your review of the matrix, of the sheet that we were going through? Is there anything else you wish to discuss? After you, sir.
I think my numbers are right. I think we're at 600 in total. I think this group raised their spending from 330 to 345. So if that's what the document says right now, Josh can tidy it up with our comments from today. I think the document, unless there's been new federal money that's come in that will affect interactively how the document works, I would suggest we update it much as possible today, but I wouldn't hold it. I would send the document and the letter, once the Senate President's ready.
Thank you, Senator Morse, and please thank Josh Elliott for the excellent work he's done on this spreadsheet. There's one item I just want to point out that at the start of the conversation, my recollection is that you asked to eliminate the trust fund shortfall issue. You voted on everything else except for that. Can we circle back, and since you voted on every other item line by line, can we take a roll call on that just to close that loop?
Yeah, my motion would be to eliminate from the upper level of this document the unemployment section and to put down for future discussion unemployment trust fund shortfall.
Is there a second on that? Representative Hinch?
I second that motion.
Representative Walner.
I just had my hand up to raise to second the motion. Somebody else beat me to it.
Any further conversation or discussion on that motion and second? Senator Susie?
Could we just amend the motion to add both housing and testing under the future considerations?
I'll amend the motion.
The second's fine.
Any further conversation? Seeing none, Senator Morse, would you like me to facilitate a roll call for you?
Yes, sir.
Senate President Donna Susie?
Yes.
House Speaker Steve Shurtleff?
Shurtleff votes yes.
Senate Republican Leader Chuck Morse?
Yes.
House Republican Leader Dick Hinch?
Hinch, yes.
Chairman Lou D'Alessandro? Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Chairwoman Mary Jane Walner?
Yes.
Senator John Reagan?
Yes.
Representative Aaron Hennessy?
Hennessy, yes.
Unanimous. Senator Morse, Senate President Susi, Speaker Shurtleff, anyone else, anything else you would like to discuss today? I believe you have completed your agenda for today. Anything else for the good of the order?
Jerry, I'd just like to thank the Gopher office and obviously Josh and the committee for everything they've done. I think it's a good start, and there's an awful lot more to do, but I think it's a good start. So,
I'd like to follow up with that, to thank everyone and to thank Josh and Chuck. And Jerry, are we going to get the updated spreadsheet?
We will work with Senator Susi's office. We'll wait to hear from her the updated cover letter. Senator Morse will work with Josh Elliott to get the updated spreadsheet. We will compile them together and distribute them. And unless we hear back from you, we will forward them. I guess
perfect.
We need to give you time to comment on it. We'll send her, I think Senator Susi's letter has a place for signatures. We will send that around to get signatures and then forward it to the governor.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Yes. And I'm hopeful we can complete that later today and then have it ready for presentation in the morning.
Very good. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Thanks.
This meeting is ending at 2:39.